Mrs. Power had a sacred prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for the light and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that our hearts may be receptive to what you want to speak to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. My dear friends in Christ, what I'd like to focus on is this meeting here in the Gospel with this young man, the Lord, and also make a transition then to this year of faith proclaimed by our Holy Father. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gospel. If you look at it or hear the words too quickly, read it too quickly, you can miss a lot of things. Well, it starts off, we have Jesus on a journey. We're called to follow Christ, so we too are on a journey. And this is a man, ran up. They didn't bump into each other. He heard about Jesus coming and he ran up, great enthusiasm. He was determined to be with the Lord. He didn't want the Lord to pass by when those coming, so he ran, so he wouldn't miss him. Ran up. Then what does he do? Right when he gets there, he kneels down. He has a spirit of humility. Two beautiful qualities right there. Ran up, enthusiasm, knelt down. Then he asks a question, something that we should all ask. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So here's a young man. He has wisdom there. Because he realizes there's things beyond this world. There's a life after this life. So right now, we're going well. Then the Lord looks at him. We'll look at it in just a second, a little more detail. But the Lord says, you know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And the young man said, teacher or rabbi, all these I've observed from my youth. Up to this point, everything's going well. Enthusiasm, humility, he's thinking about the life after, the keeping the commandments. And something happens here. Something that hopefully we've all experienced in life, or if you haven't, you'll experience it soon. Jesus looked at him. Looking at him, loved him. The gospel writer writes this out, that there's an encounter going on here. That this young man is seeing the loving gaze of Christ, realizing that he is deeply loved by God. God the Father loves us in Christ. There's a love growing there. St. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that God gave himself up for me. For me, he loved me so much. So he realized that. Individually, God loves me. He loves the whole, but he loves us individually. Everything is going great. So the Lord looks at him. And this young man, the fact that he runs up to the Lord, and it seems like he's got a lot of things in his life in order, but he feels that there's something missing. So he runs up to the Lord. Have you ever felt that? There's something, I'm just not getting it. There's something missing here. Or there's a block somewhere in my life. So he runs up to the Lord. And the Lord says, yes, you're lacking one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. My dear friends, whether we're old or young, whether we have many material possessions or little, this gospel applies to us. We all have different things that we hold on to. What this gospel is asking us here today, is there anything that we're inordinately attached to in this life? Because we can't take things from this life into the next life. Are we inordinately attached to what other people think about us? Are we inordinately attached to our car, to our home? Are we inordinately attached to my opinion, whatever it may be? Are we inordinately attached to, if there's some sin that's dominating our life? So when the Lord says that, there's one thing that you lack. You have a special vocation, as we all do. I'm calling you to this evangelical poverty. And what happens, reaction? Up to this point, everything's good. At that statement, his face fell. So you can picture his head going down like that. That statement, the young man's face fell, and he went away sad. He had many possessions. Now, he showed humility, he reverenced the Lord and everything, but there's something that he just couldn't give up to make that total commitment, that total surrender to Christ. Well, Christ remained standing there. It says, young man, he went away sad. Christ is always there. If you ever feel in your life, where is God? God hasn't moved. It's us. Decisions that we make. Maybe there's something in our life, in our hearts, we're blocking God's love from fully transforming us. But this man had all these things right. Eternal life, reverence to the Lord, ran up to him. When it came, push came to shove, our Lord put the finger. One thing. It's the one thing that's blocking you from that total surrender. Now, my dear friends and thanks, we're beginning this year of faith, and the Holy Father has asked all of us to look at our lives. Where is our faith life? Are we holding back? Are we not giving our hearts totally to the Lord? Now, this year of faith began October 11th, this year, a few days ago, and we'll go to the Feast of Christ the King, November 24th, 2013. These dates weren't just picked at random. October 11th, 50 years ago, was the opening of the Second Vatican Council, and 20 years ago, October 11th, was the gift of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, given to us by Blessed John Paul II. And so the Holy Father is asking us during this year of faith to try to get Christ, try to know Christ in a deeper way by studying, reading, learning more about our faith, more of what the Church teaches. And we could get rusty. Maybe the last time you had any kind of classes or study, maybe it was high school. Maybe it was just before your marriage, some marriage prep classes. But the Holy Father has encouraged us, get to know the faith a little deeper, because if you do, you'll have a greater appreciation, a greater love for Christ, and your heart will be more ready to sacrifice the things of this world. Now, from our Holy Father's opening Mass for this year of faith a few days ago, he said, in recent decades, we've seen the advance of a spiritual desert. In the Council, the Second Vatican Council's time, 1962-65, it was already possible at this time, from a few tragic pages of history, to know what a life or a world would look like without God. He was referring to Nazi Germany and Soviet communism. But this is a starting point from this experience of the desert, from this void. We can then again discover the joy of believing. It's vital importance for us, for men and women. In the desert, we rediscover the value of what is essential for living, or the thirst for God, the ultimate meaning of life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What the Holy Father is saying here, I think, is summed up in a vocations video I saw several years ago. This priest said, the young men of today have a great advantage. I think, oh, what's that? Seems like it's pretty bad out there. And this is what the priest said. They can look at the world and see what the world looks like when God is ignored. I thought that was a profound statement. That's what the Holy Father is saying here. You look out at the world, all these different sins are rampant and even legalized. The Holy Father says that's what the world looks like and our own souls look like when God is ignored and he's not adored and he's not put number one in our life. Now the Holy Father, in this the year of faith, he wrote an apostolic letter. So just real briefly, he starts off, the door of faith is always open for us. God wills the salvation of each and every one of us. That door is open. The heart of Christ, his mercy and love is open. But we have to trust. Trust no matter what our sinfulness is, no matter what it is, if we go to Christ. And he says, it's always open for us, ushering us into the life of communion with God. Not just a casual relationship, but a communion. It's possible to cross that threshold when the Word of God is proclaimed and the heart allows itself to be shaped and transformed by grace. The only one that can give God permission to enter your heart or my heart is ourselves. When the heart allows itself to be shaped, to enter through that door is to set out on a journey that lasts a lifetime. And he says it begins at baptism. Because at baptism, I love this, at that point, then we can address God as our Father. That's just a beautiful, beautiful line. But my dear friends, it does take effort. This young man started off great. He recognized the Lord. He ran towards him. He humbled himself. He was following the commandments. But our Christian life is not just morality, just keeping the commandments. It's giving our heart to Christ. So this gospel challenges us today. We have to look at our heart. If there's something in my heart that I'm not giving to the Lord or giving something else priority or the Lord's not Lord of everything. This is funny in the gospel that right after the St. Peter hears all this about eternal life and giving up things. And St. Peter's done that. Well, Lord, what about us? So Lord's, I can just picture Lord. Okay, Peter, okay. Peter, yes. You're going to be greatly, greatly, greatly blessed. And the Lord goes on. You will inherit this 100 times more. Then our Lord adds this at the very end. If you read it too quickly, you won't see it. You will inherit this with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. It is difficult, especially today, to 2012 to be faithful to Christ in our homes, our workplace, and everything. It's difficult because the Christian culture has sort of evaporated. So it takes courage. That's why we need to go deeper. The strategy we're up to now. Just real briefly, we'll finish with this. We put in the bulletin this weekend this handout. It's from the U.S. Bishops Conference, drafted by Bishop David Ricketts. It's just 10 ideas, suggestions, the way that we can live this year of faith. One, participate in Mass, but more often. Okay, we're going on Sunday, great, but we can step it up. Are there other opportunities? Maybe we go Tuesday night, maybe Saturday morning. And in this Dubuque area, tri-state area, there's many opportunities. Go to confession. Number two, confession is so powerful. The longer I'm a priest, the different people I meet, things that they've held on to their hearts for years and years, if they would have confessed them years ago, they would have been much better today. They would just let that go home themselves. So Bishop Malloy at a presbyteral council meeting on Tuesday emphasizes, priest, make sure you encourage the faithful about confession. Third, learn about the lives of the saints. Our confirmation, and I tell you from the depths of my heart, when we pray to the saints with our hearts, they're here. They come, really and truly. We may not be able to see them like the mystics, but they really, truly come. The saints are the ones who made that total surrender to Christ, and they're in heaven. And they're our brothers and sisters. They want to help you and I make it there. So call on the saints. Develop a relationship with your confirmation saint or a particular saint that's been friends with your family. Learn about them. Read their biographies. They see that you're making an effort to get to know them. They're going to draw closer to you. Then it goes on. I'll skip over some of these, but what we can do to learn more about the faith. Maybe read one chapter of the Bible a day. Or the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You pick that up. We gave those out maybe it's 4 years ago here at the parish, but if you need a copy, we'll supply copies. But you can go online to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's just a beautiful, beautiful. Volunteer. Or, I love this, we have a perpetual Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. Not just to be a casual visitor, but be a soul who makes a commitment to Christ. And you sign up for an hour. Lord, I'm going to revolve my schedule during the week around this hour. I'm going to put you down and make you a priority. Help those in need. We all meet people who are in need of help. And if we're able to help, to help. I like this one, number 9. Invite a friend to Mass. How many souls, if they just received an invitation, would come? A lot of times people have been away from the church. They're afraid to come in. I don't know anybody. I don't want to go by myself. You open that door to them. Invite them. You may have to invite them 5 times, maybe 10 times, but you keep inviting them, eventually they'll come. And then number 10, incorporate the Beatitudes into your daily life. That's Matthew chapter 5, we just read that. But dear friends, we're all on a journey, and God looks at us with great love, and he wants his love to enter our hearts to transform us so we can be more like him, so we can have peace and joy. And I've learned this too as a priest, and I meet people. The only guy who can read souls, but perfectly. But I meet a person that's just filled with joy in their heart. It seems like whatever's thrown at them in life, they're able to go through it with a smile without being disturbed, without having their peace disturbed. And I know when I meet that person that they're living their vocation in Christ and they've surrendered. They've surrendered. And that's what Mother Teresa said, the joy of surrender, the joy of Jesus in our hearts. So let's just bow our heads and say a quick prayer here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of this year of faith. Help us to reach that point of total surrender, to give our hearts totally to your Son, that we may be transformed, that we may be really, truly be Christians 100%. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.